y'all for coming and worshiping with us this morning. We're so thankful to have you here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're thankful that you've come to worship with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. And if you are a returning visitor, we are thrilled that you have come back to be a part of our worship time and give us an opportunity to get to know you better. And we are thankful to be able to have this time to recognize on Memorial Day weekend those who have lost their lives fighting on the foreign fields and around the world for us here to be free to be able to worship today. I wonder this morning, is there anybody that has an aunt, an uncle, or a grandmother, or a grandfather that has maybe lost their life in a campaign? Miss Benita, thank you for letting us know that. Was it an aunt, uncle, grandpa?
Uncle.
An uncle. You know which war or which campaign?
Korean.
Anybody else? Yes, Miss Debbie?
Uncle, World War II.
Uncle, World War II. Anybody else? Yes, Brother Corin?
An uncle in World War II.
An uncle in World War II. Brother James?
Uncle Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima, an uncle. Yes, sir, brother?
I had an uncle lost his life in Nam.
Three tours in Vietnam. Brother Vito, did I see your hand?
Oh, I was pointing at him.
Oh, he was pointing at him. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Clatchy?
Battle of the Bulge, an uncle.
Battle of the Bulge, an uncle. Oh, what history. And we get to worship today because these folks paid the ultimate sacrifice. That is a blessing, and we're thankful to be able to honor those and to worship with them, with you. So if we could, at this moment, would you please stand with me? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, asking comfort. And at the end of the prayer, taps will be played. And so if you remain standing for that, that will be a blessing too as well. Father, we do love you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us this opportunity to worship here in this place of worship. And we're glad that we have family members that have gave their life so that we can have this freedom. And to be able to remember them on this special day that our country has set aside for Memorial Day weekend. God, thank you that we can honor them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary to give us eternal life, so that we can worship in freedom of life because of these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. Well, it has been good this week to be a child of the King and to know that we have a home in heaven because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will be in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So as you spend the rest of this day and tomorrow off, remember, it didn't come without cost. And it costs more than a barbecue chicken, barbecue hamburger. So while you're eating your hamburgers, remember those that gave their all. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. We're going to actually read the whole chapter this morning. Then we're going to fall back to just one verse. And I'm hoping, by God's grace, I'll be able to get through this whole thing by close service today. If not, I'll either finish it up this evening or next Sunday morning. I haven't made up my mind yet. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Some of you are praying I'll finish it up today so we can get through with it, but I don't believe it will be possible. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Listen, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and lay captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Back up to verse number 5, and this is where we're going to spend our time. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, there are many forms of godliness. But what we've got to look for, we've got to look for the power of godliness. It says here, there are having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible has very much to say when it comes to the subject of godliness. For instance, if you would, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to look at many verses, so kind of follow along with it if you can. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is, and that which is to come. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Look also at verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What's these things? Well, to find out, you have to read the whole chapter and go back up. And verse 4 says, he's proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about with questions and strife, words whereof cometh envy, strife, reveling, evil surmise, perverse, disputing of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, despising, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And then verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and also and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Flip over to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, that's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter number 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now I say to you this morning, dear friend, there is no desire for the truths of the Word of God if not we're not willing to live godly. You'll have no hunger and thirst for godliness if you're not willing to for righteousness and for the truth. You'll have no hunger and thirst for the wisdom of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. The only way you're going to have that hunger, that thirst, that drive, that desire, that fortitude to press forward towards for wisdom and power of God is through godliness. The Bible has a lot to say about godliness. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Titus, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wow, that's like five or six verses. And I could go on, and I could go on. Well, what is godliness? Godliness is very simple. It's according to God. It's godlike. According to God's preferences. According to God's will. And the way God would have you to act. It's a reverential action of the mind, the heart, the body to be as much like God in every way possible. We're never going to be God. There's a lot of denominations, a lot of religions that teach us that one day we'll work hard enough, we'll learn a lot about God, the things of God, and we'll eventually one day become a God. That is false teaching, dear friend. There's one God. He changes not. We can become the sons of God by power from God, by faith from the heart, believing that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that died on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And from the heart man believeth in righteousness, and he is born again into the family of God, but you will not become God. It is the very will of God that we be conformed into the image of His only begotten Son to become Christ-like. That is the will of God. So there's much to be said about being godliness, but I'm telling you, dear friend, there's an unusual and unique power that comes with a person that is willing to be godly, to be godlike, or to have godliness in their life. To be godly is not just to play or act or be religious. Many folks are religious. Many folks put on an act. It says there in our text, as we read there in the text that we read, it says having a form of godliness. but denying the power thereof. There's a form, there's many forms, many people that act like it, want to talk about it. And the Bible says they talk with their mouth much about God, but their hearts simply far from God. So having a form of godliness and being godly, what type are you taking on? What type of godliness are you portraying? Is it true godliness? The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, all things are become new. Many want the power of godliness, dear friend, but they simply refuse to pay the price. We was down in Honduras not too long ago, back in the spring of this last year, as we were passing through the cities and going from place to place, we noticed that they'd have a telephone pole or a substance of some kind of pole, and that pole would be a power source, but from that power source there would be probably 100 different man-made lines that was tied into the power. They wanted the power from the power company, but they wasn't willing to pay the price for the power. Many folks want the power of godliness, but they're not willing to deny self. They won't plug into God themselves. They would rather be a parasite, Brother Dick, and suck off of somebody else's godliness and live off of somebody else's godliness. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Back over in our text. And look down at verse number 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Paul said this, there's persecutions, there are afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch in Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Dear friend, I'm telling you something. When you live godly, you will have the power to endure through difficulties in life. You'll have power to endure through persecution. There's a great difference in the Word of God when you look through the Scriptures and you find examples that go along with this. A difference between those who started out the race and then those that quit and then those that started the race and persevered through that. For instance, Paul received great power and courage here in our passage, but it wasn't because of him. It was because he chose to live a godly life. So he was able to persevere. He was able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished the faith. Why? Because he had godliness in his life. He fed off the power of God, not the power of those around him. We know many folks started out with Paul, but didn't finish the race. Demas started, but at the end, he forsake Paul and those around him for the love of this present world. Samson started off a great man of God and did not finish the fight, did not finish the race. Why? Because he refused godliness. He wanted the power, but he did not want to go God's route and God's way. And so he had to have a woman of the Philistines, and it cost him his eyes, it cost him his life, because he did not choose godliness. King Saul started off great, didn't he? Humble. Matter of fact, Samuel had to go find him, hiding off somewhere, talk to him, brought him back. But then he became so much full of himself and not godliness that he lost his throne because he chose the power thereof, of the throne, instead of the power of God. Here's a good one. How about Judas? Judas was handpicked by Christ himself. He was handpicked and he was brought into the fold, the inner circle of 12. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 1, after the resurrection, they were meeting together and they had a head count. There was 120 of the disciples there. Judas was down to the 12. And he walked with God. Matter of fact, Jesus sent out Judas with one of the other disciples twice, two by two, and was able to see great things done in the name of Jesus. But when it came down to it, Judas did not endure because of one simple thing, dear friend. He lacked godliness. Godliness, dear friend. Now here's some examples of folks in the Bible that did endure and did persevere and did press on. Listen, there was nothing about Job that was special. Nothing that we find in the Word of God that he was some supernatural, abnormal human being that had a dose of personal righteousness. He said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." So if he had a Redeemer, that means he had flaws. He had problems. He had difficulties. And yet what happened? He chose godliness. He chose godliness. There was nothing that we can find in the Word of God about Noah that was extra special other than he decided to choose godliness. How about Moses? Moses was a man of God who chose to choose and suffer with God's people or to be godly over the wealth and riches of all that Pharaoh had to offer in Egypt. How did he do it? What made him press on and finish the course and finish the fight? He chose godliness. There's power, dear friend, in endurance when you choose godliness. Well, why is that? Because when we choose godliness, Brother Ray, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we live a life in this flesh, and it's not our faith we're living in. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that we live in. And we can claim the Scriptures in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." There's too many Christians, dear friend, in this day and age which we live in, are enduring the Christian life instead of enjoying abundant life. We rely and we lay upon our thoughts and our minds and our pillows on all the cans and can't do's in the Word of God. Do you understand, dear friend, there is nothing in the Word of God that God put there that is to keep us from having fun. It is to protect us from harm. That is what it's there for. It's not to keep us from having abundance of fun and enjoyment. It is to protect us and put a thing of protection around us so that we can endure persecutions and afflictions. Yea, all that live God. You know why we don't choose godliness? Because when you choose godliness, there's going to come persecution. Well, why? That is the way of man. That is how people are. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you have power to endure. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. Not only do you have power for endurance, you have power for over temptations. And I don't know about you, dear friend, but I need all the help I can when it comes to temptations. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. The Word of God says there, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the judgment to be punished." Now listen, dear friend, we're delivered by the power of God by choosing right godliness. We surround ourselves with godliness and the things of God so that we have less temptations around us. The Bible says they love evil because love darkness because they love. Say it, somebody. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Listen, you don't want, if you want to overcome temptations and overcome, listen, there's something about this here thing that's happened to me this past year and a half. It's like every, I get like this. Why did my wife put these candies up here? I just gained 2 pounds by holding them. I don't have north idea what is going on. I don't get it. You know why I'm getting? Because I'm surrounding myself instead of around pineapples. Yesterday she brought me some pineapples and carrots and some hummus. Oh, that's enough. Listen, just looking at that hummus made me want to lose 2-3 pounds. You know, if I want to, and my daughter, she works over this ice cream shop now, and every time she leaves, her boss gives her, take some to your dad over there. He wants free advertisement here at the church. I know what he wants. It's sweet cones over here. Now tell him to send me a gallon next time. How do I overcome the temptations? I've got to surround myself with godliness and stay away from the temptations. Different. I tell you, God is not going to present you with an evil plate and say, here, partake. The thief coming but to kill, to steal, to destroy. God's going to present you with things that's going to help you to become more Christ-like. So you want to be around godliness. He'll help you overcome those temptations. What in the world delivered Jesus Christ from the snare of the devil there in Matthew chapter 4? The Word of God. The Word of God is godly. It's God's. It's part of God. It's to have the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. What kept Joseph pure? It wasn't that he didn't have enough testosterone. Yeah, I'm heaven now. It wasn't that he had blinders on his eyes. No different. He saw Miss Potiphar and that she was attractive. You know what it was? He said, I will not do this sin against God. He wanted to be godly. You know what kept him pure? Wanting to please God. That's what kept him pure. Moses refused all of that, all the goods of the world so he could be godly. The three Hebrew children, Brother Hector brought a devotional yesterday at the men's prayer breaks. Man, we had a good one yesterday. 32 men came out, boys and girls, boys and men. Good prayer meeting time over there. If you missed it, you missed a good one. But he talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. What caused them to make it through the fire and get that they chose godliness? When the music played, they said, listen, I'm going to give you a second chance. How many times sin come around and give you a second chance? It, listen, second, third, fourth, fifth chance. You know I'm telling the truth. It doesn't quit. You know what they said? We're going to go to the fire, and if God does not, so be it. They chose godliness. And it helped them get through the temptation. How can I say this and still be kind and gentle? Dude, let me tell you something. Trusting our kids, giving them PS4s and DS2s and PlayStation, whatever's that, what's that other one? Is it the sidestep? What is it called, that thing that sticks into something? The Switch. Switch and sidestep. How in the world did I get that one? Giving them these things. There's something about us parents these days. We want to give our kids everything that we did not have. But we're failing at giving them what we had. We give them now, they have more toys and playthings and things in the world. Well, it's going to help them. Listen. I'm for the DARE program, Brother Ray. I am. Mothers Against Drugs and all that, and Sheriff's Department coming around. I'm for all these programs they put in schools, dear friend. But I'm telling you, what will help us more than these programs in our schools is that we have some godly, God-fearing families in our churches that spill over into our schools. Amen. We do need some godliness. Because that's going to make the difference. We need those programs. But those programs alone are not going to help us, dear friend. Not going to help us at all. Now, I'm going to tread lightly right here, but truth is truth, and I've got to say it, or I'll be held accountable to a holy and righteous God, dear friend. I am for the anti-abortion movement. Ladies, listen, I'm not against you. If you had one, I'm sorry for you. I pray for you. I know you ache. But I'm going to tell you what will help us more than that is that we would have some godliness that would keep our young ladies from and young men from having fornication. Before we ever get to the abortion point, why don't we stop back over here and have some godliness that brings fear and reverence into our lives and says, hey, the marriage bed is undefiled. Now listen, I'm not against you if you've had one. I'm not. I know you're hurt. I know your pain that you carry through that. And I do understand that there's many folks in this world that think that this is my body. I can do what I want with it. Is it? Yes, you can, but there's a cost that comes with that. A hurtful and painful sadness that breaks your heart. Listen, I'm for cleaner TV. It amazes me. You sit down and try to watch a baseball game and the stuff that comes across there. I'm not far, but I'll tell you what would be better than cleaner TV? Godliness. Amen. More godlike people. I'm for family sermons. I'm for sermons that will help us to understand the role of a husband, the role of a wife, the role of children, and how husbands are supposed to interact with the wife, and the wife interact with the children, and the husband, and how children are honored and obey, and how the father's not to provoke the children wrath. I'm for those sermons, but I'm telling you what's greater than that is just that we choose to be godly. I'm for banning pornography. But if more of our men would just live godly, they wouldn't get tied up in that mess. Pastor, we're wired different and we got to have it. You get around God and you ain't got to have it.
That's right.
He'll subdue having our spirit and our bodies under submission to Christ. You know what, ladies? I'm not letting you off. There's more ladies addicted to pornography now than it's ever, ever, ever been. I'm for banning. We ban drugs forever. You know what keeps it? Godliness. Godliness. Listen, I'm for world peace. I wish we didn't have a battle that our soldiers and our military women and children, they didn't have to get in and we didn't lose. I'm a serviceman. I served. My son served. I got one still serving now. I'm for our military. I'm for world peace, dear friend, but I'm more for godliness. Because there's going to be no world peace till the Prince of Peace comes to this earth. Pastor, the homeless situation is, I'm for rescue missions. I'm for children's homes. I'm for women's crisis center. We hope over here eventually down the road, the Lord bless us, we'll be able to have a women's crisis center right here in the church park. I'm for that. But more than that, I'm for godliness. If we could be more godlike, dear friend, we'd have better interaction with one another. You know, the Bible says there, this thing it said about, in our text, it talked about incontinence. You know what that is? No self-control. How many times have you been at a red light and you didn't move like immediately? That's the least you get. I wish they would stick it honking the horn. I've been saluted so many different ways just today. You know what the problem there is? No self-control. You know what helps us have self-control? Godliness. This is a true greatness. How many of you had somebody give their word to you? They're going to do something, do this, do that, and they just don't do it. You know what helps us to keep our word? To be godly. Why? Because God's a God of His word. Heady, high-minded, boasters. Man, I get around some folks, dear friend, and I tell you, I think they're like 1,000 different people. They sell yachts, they skateboard. They fly kites, and they jump out of airplanes. They jump out of airplanes. In the midst of jumping out of airplanes, they can work out calculus problems. In the middle of the calculus problems, they can diagram three sentences and put some verbs and adverbs and adjectives all in the right place while they're floating down. And before they get down, they tie their shoe three different times. I'm like, God, how do you have time to live? Just boasters. Then you watch them walk off and they trip over a blade of grass. Like, I know you're lying, dude. You can't even eat properly. You probably spill stuff all over your tie. Time you eat, you boast about jumping out of airplanes. You talk to people like that. You know what to keep us from boasting? How many of you, you know, fishermen, Brother Johnson? They catch two bass. And by the time they done told five people, the bass are whales. The bass done drug them down the Kissimmee chain all the way. They got it finally reeled in down there at Okeechobee. Across six locks, four dams. Drug the airboat up on the land out there. Ran three deer off there. Said, man, you should have been there. Now, who want to catch fish like that? Boasters. Boasters. You know what keeps us from telling those boasting lies? Godliness, because God keeps us in our place. You know why? God is God and we're not. So we'll be humble about this thing. Be humble because we're not perfect. We're flawed. We're messed up. Psalms 4, verse 3. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but I almost got this whole thing covered. And I'm only 2 minutes past 12. Wow. We ain't going to have to touch this tonight or next week. Psalms 4, verse 3. Psalms chapter 4, verse 3. So godliness to give us endurance. Godliness will help us during temptations, the times of temptation. And dear friend, godliness sanctifies us and sets us apart. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 4 and verse number 3, but know that God has set apart him that is godly for himself. For the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Because I don't know what it is. I want to be used of God. I want God to use. I want God to take my life and do something with my life that I'll be an influence to those around me. I'll be a help to those around me. Are you choosing godliness? God uses godly people. He sets them apart that choose godliness. He said, listen, you're doing right. You're walking right. You're not perfect. You're trying. And so I want to take you and I want to use you in a special way. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be used like Charles Spurgeon was. Not for my own good. For the good, for the glorification of God. You know why thousands of thousands and thousands of people flocked to Moody, Wesley, and Spurgeon? Because they chose godliness. They chose godliness. You know why God chose Abraham, the father of our faith? You know why God? Because Abraham chose godliness. Godliness. Because I love the story of David. David was a messed up man, as messed up as I could ever be, and still I'm chiefest of sinners. Like Paul said, I can agree with Paul and I can agree with David that I'm from my womb and I was created in unrighteousness. But yet the Bible says about David, David was a man after God's own heart. You know why I can say that about him? David chose godliness. Godliness. You want the wisdom of Solomon, dear friend? It comes with choosing godliness. You know why Samson could come around at the end of his life blind, knowing he messed up. Brother David, he messed up. Blinded, eyes poked out, pushing around in circles. And they're making fun of him, just grinding meal. They're poking at him like he's a mule, like he's an ox, and he's grinding. He's grinding. The end of his life, he said, all this vanity, everything I've done, look at all this, this got me nowhere. God, if you'll just give me your strength one more time. What was he doing? Choosing godliness in his very last breath. Godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, such turn away. Our early Christian church, in the book of Acts, when they were going through and they were preaching the gospel, and they were coming along, you know what the Bible says? And those that turned the world upside down have come hither. You know what I'm saying? They chose godliness. Godliness. We need great sermons that get to the point of the fact. But more than we need great sermons and great orators and great exegesis, and more than we need, what's the sermons they call this? Alliterated sermons. More than we need all that, we need pastors and men of God that will get to be godly. And when they present the message of God, they not only present a message of God, they live outside that door godly. And not only for the pastors, but every man that calls themselves a man of God. I saw something today just amazing me, and it's absolutely true. If only we in the church would spend as much time teaching our men to be good husbands instead of fooling around teaching our wives or the women, the girls all the time how to be good wives. What the difference? What's the difference? We've spent more time trying to get the ladies trained. Listen to me, dear friend. Ladies are naturally more spiritual than we men anyway. Say it again. One more time. There you go. It's the truth. We need to spend more time. The Fisher the Men program is so important, dear friend. So important. Our prayer meeting with our men is so important. We need faithful, godly men that will lead and help our younger generation. Listen, we got 11 buildings on our property. We got 14 acres here on the church property. We got, my wife works half-time secretary, 25 hours. Brother Josh works 25 hours with lawn mowing and mowing and maintenance. Brother Ray runs around here like he's Samuel, committed to the things of the house of God. I'm going to tell you, before we need anybody else on staff, before we need a youth pastor, before we need an associate pastor, before we need a full Brother Jim, he might as well be full-time. Comes around here plucking grass and pulling grass and planting and singing and leading songs, leading choir. Before we need somebody, listen, got three deacons. Before we need another deacon, before we need an associate, before we need a full-time this or full-time that, we need a church full of godly people. Amen. Godliness. And the power of God will flow out of this here, this building. And the power that flows off us will touch the lives of those around us. Two, three more acres ain't going to help us. Four, five more buildings ain't going to help us. I'm telling you what's going to help us for us as a church to get close to God and live godly and act godly and understand that we're Christians 24-7. We don't just put on the Christian coat when we come to church, but we're God's people 24-7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're born again eternally and should live for God day by day. Having a form of godliness. So, godliness will do what? It will give us endurance. I don't know about you, but I need endurance. Godliness will help us with temptation. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I need the help with temptation. And I'm not just talking little silly stuff like this. I don't need candy. I'm talking about real stuff that could be real potholes and could destroy my life and your life and friends and families around me. I need help in temptation. The only way I'm going to get that is I'm thankful for God-fearing people, but I need godliness in my life. Not only I need help with endurance, I need help with temptation, and I need to be sanctified, set apart, realizing that I'm God's child for His purpose and for His use. Three questions. No, just one question. What form of godliness are you living? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. What form of godliness are you there? Still want to pray, so be kind, gentle as you talk and move around. It's good to be in God's house today. The youth group will be selling a prepaid box to go spaghetti dinner. That is for next Sunday. So if you see Kinley, you come down to the front. She'll be right down here by the altar whenever it's over. If you want a $7 spaghetti, you say, Pastor, I don't like spaghetti at all. It's okay. The youth will take your $7 anyway. And it'll be going to a good purpose. And so there's what this is to help them get to camp. It will help them get to camp. And so pay their camp fee. And so teenagers, you need to see Miss Kim tonight, Wednesday, for what you need to bring to finish up the spaghetti dinner. If you're going to camp, you need to help bring some items. So this Wednesday, come see Miss Kim. She'll let you know what you need to bring so we can have the boxes. And you'll get them and you can go and eat them wherever you want. Be box dinner, $7. All right? No instrumental practice tonight. Nurse home at 3. We'll be having our prayer time at 6 o'clock and then 6:30 our evening service here tonight. So look forward to having you. Thank you for being with us. Brother Connie.
That's all right. I like to join the church. I
all right. Statement of faith now for a couple of weeks and told him to come on his own time when he got to an agreement. Now this is a funny thing, strange thing. Brother Connie and I got saved at the same church. He never knew I was here. Everybody would like to receive Brother Connie Watkins into our fellowship. Raise your right hand. Any questions, come by, please give him right hand to fellowship. So Kinley, take your spaghetti over there. Connie's going to be right here. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray, God, you'll bless. Help us, Lord, to honor you with our lives. Thank you for the folks that's come our way. And we're so grateful that you've added once again to our church family. We pray, God, now that you'll help us to find Brother Connie something that he can do productive in our church family for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.